Let your word come to life today. Let it come to life for those who are listening to this message, as well as to us, so that we can become more and more that sweet aroma to our Father, to the Lord, growing within us, gaining in power and in strength, that we may accomplish what He's called us to accomplish. In Jesus' name. I would like you to go to Romans chapter 12 with me this morning. I also want to thank Bob Trump for sharing his testimony on Tuesday. I was blessed, and I know the saints were blessed. If you didn't have a chance to be with us on that night, check out the internet. I think you'll find it quite worthwhile. It was a blessing to us, and we appreciate it. I heard loud and clear verse 2, so that's where we're going to go. We'll start with verse 2, and I don't know where else we're going to go, but we're going to go. Amen? So if you've reached Romans chapter 12, you need to be ready for what His Word says. I was pressed to use the Amplified because I read it in both, and this one seemed to be really pushing the bright buttons. And so I want to go with what He said to do. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, in parentheses it says changed, by the entire renewal of your mind. The word entire, again, is in parentheses. By its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for all the neighbors. Does that your Bible say for all the neighbors? Or does it say for me? None of the above, huh? It really is saying for me. It says for you. Renewing my mind. How do I renew my mind? How do I change what I've done for years? And St. Paul is after my old mind, my old way of thinking, my old way of reasoning out things. How do I do it? How? He's not saying that it's going to be easy, did he? Because verse 3 says, for by grace given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought. Not to have exaggerated opinions of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God. Apportioned by God to me. Does that mean that you know how much has been apportioned by God to them? Do you and I have any ability to see how much God's grace has done and is doing, even in your mate, if you're married? Even in your mom or dad, or both? Is there a way that you can discern what's actually taking place by God's grace in that person? You can get a clue by watching. Can you get a clue by yelling? Oh, you'll get a clue out of you. You'll see a little more about me by my reactions. You'll see how much Jesus is actually operating in yourself and in others by watching the storm come to life. How many have ever seen a storm come to life? Out of nothing, a storm can be created. Out of zero stuff. Stuff that is so ridiculous that it doesn't even make sense 10 years later. But at the... Oh, why do we have to wait 10 years? Because some of us, it takes a long time. So would you kind of clue in your neighbor? It might take 10 years. Uh-oh. We've had an additional 5 years added on here by our friend. Yeah. Yeah. He needed a little extra here. So he wanted to put a little more grace, huh?
The reason why is because we'll be married 15 years.
So he's covering his bases.
I want to go back to the beginning.
All right.
It's the exact same reason.
Really? Up to 27. I'm catching up to 49 in a few months. You know, watching God work in your friend, your wife, your husband, your child, children, it's an awesome experience. Most of us watch God work in them rather than in us. Amen? How much fun is it to watch God work in them? Versus what God is really saying by St. Paul to me. He says, Kip, do not be conformed to this world. This age, fashioned after, adapted and inserted to its external superficial customs. Superficial customs. I love that combination. Those are the wonderful traditions that get you and me into trouble. Amen? But be transformed by the entire renewal of my mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes. Whoa! The old attitude won't cut it. So that you may prove for yourself, not for your neighbor, not for your wife or husband or child or parent, that you may prove for yourself what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for me. Perfect in His sight for me. Do I have down days? Yes. Will I survive the down days? Yes. Will I have grace to make it through that day? Yes. Will I enjoy on that day how difficult it's been to make it through? Not all the time. That's what grace is coming for. Okay? Verse 3, by grace, unmerited favor of God, given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate or think of himself more highly than he ought. Not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment. When I judge myself, I will not be judged. When I look at myself soberly and I see how much I need of him yet to be established in me, it gives me grace so that I can give it out to others. And at the same time, I can actually release grace to those that are struggling even deeper than me. Amen? Because there are some that are having a very hard time around us. Amen? And we can't really pull them up to the level we'd like them to be at, but we can at least pour out their grace that we have upon them. Is it sufficient sometimes? Would you like to be able to pour more out? Sometimes I would. But it's not there. How many times have I told you I can't give out what I've never received? I can't give out what I've never poured into me. Amen? It's like the person who's been fasting for 3 weeks. After 21 days, how many times do you think he visits the bathroom? He didn't put anything in. He's not going to put anything out. Well, good heavens, if you know enough about food that you got to put some in order to put some out, spiritual food is no different. If you don't put any spiritual food in, how are you going to put any out? You can't. I can remember the Lord saying to me one morning, Kim, out of bed this morning. I said, Lord, it's not time to go to work yet. How many have ever heard that word? So I made a choice. I said, Lord, I don't have a desire to get out of bed. It's not in me, the desire to get out of bed. I did read your word last night. I admit I fell asleep while I was reading it. He says, yes, and you're giving me leftovers. Oh. And then he brought me to his word. The best of my day is the morning when I'm wide awake. Well, how many know that I wasn't an early morning person at that time? Those of you who remember me way back used to confess to you that I could actually get myself ready to go to work in about 20 minutes, and that included breakfast, shaving and getting into my clothes and be on the road. The Lord adjusted me a little bit at a time because he began a work in me to give me a hunger to get up to read his word. And I would finally take my cup of coffee, go into my family room, and begin to read the word with my cup of coffee because I needed it to keep my eyes open. And I began to do that before the rest of the house got up. And then I asked him for grace to carry it out. So I began to put some of his food in so that I could give out his food. I had to do it because if I wouldn't have, I wouldn't be here today. I asked him for strength to create that in me, and his favor came and I received it. It was a little bit of change every day, a little bit at a time. And I didn't commit to read, 100 pages every morning. My commitment was 2 pages. That was it. I asked him to give me the courage to do 2 pages. 1, 2. Or if you wish, 1 page on both sides. Where I started is not where I finished. I mean, sometimes you can get drawn in and you go a little deeper and all of a sudden you end up with, oh, it has a reference point, and you start going to another place and you study a little more and you get a little more wisdom. And then as the day progresses, you start to discover that what you actually took in, you are now using in the very process of your day. Sometimes with someone else, might be on the phone, might be somebody having a hard time in your family. And, well, I have a word for you today. I have a word for you today. I can remember being on the prayer line getting a telephone call from a lady who had a beautiful Christian bookstore up in Westfield. Her name was Thea Smith. By the way, I don't know if you guys know, she went home to be with the Lord several years ago, but I spent quite a bit of time with her husband on the phone when I learned that she had gone. And Thea was a gift to me. She was a wonderful German woman. And calls me on the prayer line at that time, which would have been back in 86, maybe 85, 87, somewhere in there. She says, Kim, I have a word for you this morning. Now, how many know sometimes you may be giving out, but you don't have anything to give? And that particular day, I can remember being under the rug with the bugs. And she says, the word of the Lord says that you're not plugged in. I said, oh? Yeah, she says, I had a vision. She says, and it was the old-fashioned electrical box with the plugs. 15 amps, 20 amps, 30 amps. Remember? Anybody old enough to remember those? Okay, not the push-button kind. The kind that you had to replace. She says, your plug is dead. Burnt out. And that's why there's no power in the house. And I'm literally having a vision. Okay? She has no clue. But I had been debating about putting a bottle of oil on my tape on my desk. Because I always carried one in my pocket, but I didn't have one on my desk. I'm having a vision of an Avon bottle given to my father-in-law. Those of you who ever visited me with my office downstairs know that it ended up on my desk. Because here it was, an Avon cologne bottle that had been emptied, filled with oil, and I used it for years. It was a reminder that I needed to be plugged in. It was a reminder that there's no power in my house unless I plug in. If I don't plug in, I don't have anything to give. The lights are out. Of course, there'll be no electric light bill at the end of the month. But good grief, do you want to run without power the whole month? Okay. Don't be conformed to this world, to external superficial customs. Superficial customs. I love the Thanksgiving dinner. I love the idea that it brings, where the family sits together and enjoys good food. I don't enjoy watching them run away the minute they've got their tummy full. Showing that it's only a tradition to make me happy. Did anybody see that happen in their home this week? If you did, show me a hand. Thank you. Why? Because it's become a custom rather than an act of grace and love. It's lost its purpose. I really believe that when it was first established, that the heart of the Lord was in many saints sitting at the table saying thank you. Thank you for the provision. Now it's a mad rush as to who made what, how much of what they made, and did you get to taste that? It's all about self rather than the one who created it for us to enjoy. I can remember there was one particular year that the anointing of the Lord came in my dining room. So much so that it was so intense that it irritated some of the table. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for every person at the table as we prayed. That was not there this past week. And I knew why. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I would have went in that direction, it wouldn't have been God's will, because there was so much pressure. How many know what I'm talking about? Pressure. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, make it the quickest prayer and acknowledge my name and I'll take care of the rest. And that's exactly what I did. I clapped my hands together, got the attention of the whole house, and I said, right now we're going to pray and thank the Lord for all the good food, the good company, and enjoy your time while you're with us. In Jesus' name. And I closed it. Now that's not verbatim, that's close. But that's all there was to say. You know why? Because the ears couldn't handle anymore. And the pressure was very real. You say, oh, at your house it should be perfect. I got news for you. At my house it's war sometimes. Why? Because there's competition. Everybody's looking at each other for the wrong reasons. It wasn't a day of Thanksgiving. It was a day of competition. It was a day of what? Superficial custom. Would I like to have it changed? Yes. When will I be able to have it changed? When I get the mind of Christ. When my mind is focused on how will they be able to adapt and adjust and be able to really have a Thanksgiving dinner. It might not be on Thanksgiving Day. It just might be a Thanksgiving dinner at a later date. Where there's less pressure. Where there's less pressure for them to perform, to make all things comfortable for each other. Be patient with your families. They're not there yet. I want you to go back to verse 3. For by grace given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought to. Not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned to him by God. Apportioned to them by God. If they have not received too much grace, don't expect too much from them. Amen? Because otherwise, who is the failure? Me. I'm expecting them to perform in something that they have no clue about, and they are not where I am. And I've got to adapt. I've got to adjust. Amen? Otherwise, I end up puffed up, and they can't stand me, and I can't stand them. Whoa, are we having a marvelous time for this feast. Right? Oh, can the holidays be changed? Yes. How do I adjust? At every level, I adjust. Lord, what do you want? How do you want it done? Can they handle a long prayer today? No, they can't. Can they handle a long prayer next week? Yes, they might. Don't be the focus of their problem. Oh, whenever we go to that house, my God, they pray for an hour and the food gets all cold, and boy, I don't even enjoy my dinner. Brr. What have you done? So you prayed, but you irritated them. Is that the way you want to plant seeds? Oh, be compassionate. Give them only the seed they can handle. It might be a very tiny one, but you know what? If it goes in and they can handle it, God will make it grow. Close your eyes. Put one hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, adjust me so that I can deposit a seed that will grow. Not such a big seed that they can't handle it. But maybe just a little seed of grace and mercy. And love will make it grow. The Lord Jesus will make it grow. Not me. It's his job to make it grow. It's his job to water it. And I'll be there to help as best I can. Adjust my expectations, Lord. Amen. I could tell you to read the whole chapter because it's all very good. But I'm going to give you one verse, 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself. Readily adjust yourself to people and things. Give yourself to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceit. Repay no evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble. Aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. Aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. That short prayer could not be criticized. I didn't hear one word of criticism. That short prayer probably did more fruit than a long one would have done. 18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace or at peace with everyone. 19. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. Requite, says the Lord. Deuteronomy 32:35. He will repay. 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Proverbs 25. Verse 21 through 22. Verse 21. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, and then the wonderful little word in parentheses says, master evil with good. Master evil with good. Overwhelm your enemy with goodness. Overwhelm your family with goodness and grace and mercy. Give them an extra piece of pie. Let them take it home. Give them something good to go home with. And Bob is very excited about taking home an extra piece of pie. Amen? You got a favorite kind, my friend?
My wife's apple pie is the best apple pie in the world.
If you said anything different, you know you'd be readjusted.
He had a tough time allowing a piece of pie to go home with somebody.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
And of course, I lost.
But he overcame.
He overcame. All right. You know what? We see ourselves. And when we see ourselves and we cry out for mercy, it's such a marvelous deal from God. He wants to pour out that mercy so much. And if we give mercy to ourselves, if we give grace to ourselves, we will grow in wisdom and in knowledge. Amen? Close your eyes. Father God, I gave them what you showed me. And now I ask that even these who are listening will be blessed with answered prayer, changed hearts, and renewed minds. Because by the power of your Spirit, their mind is being renewed a little bit more in the image of Christ every single day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Share some love with each other and